with. My faith has a resting place because that song has the words "Lead me to Calvary" in it. Right? You probably told me that "Lead me to Calvary," and I just automatically thought of my faith has found a resting place. Lead me to Calvary. So we got both songs together. All right. Thank you, ladies. Very good. All right. This morning we're looking into Isaiah chapter 2, chapter 6 through 11. God's universal reign. And we know He is universal. He does reign in His creation, in all the world, in all nations, in all people. And if you'll follow along with me, I'll begin reading with verse 6 in chapter 2 of Isaiah, which says, "For you have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines. And they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. Their land has also been filled with silver and gold. And there is no end to their treasures. Their land has also been filled with horses and chariots. And their land has been filled with idols. They worship the work of their hands, that which their fingers have made. So the common man has been humbled, and the man of importance has been abased, but do not forgive them. Even the rock and the hide in the dust, from the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of His majesty. The proud look of man will be abased, be humbled. And the loftiness of man will be humbled. And the Lord alone will be exalted in the day." So looking at this passage of Scripture this morning, as I stated last week, this message is part of the series from Isaiah, paralleling Israel and America. And in these verses, Isaiah was attempting to exalt herself. And this cannot happen when one exalts themselves over the Lord. So it exposes the problem of human pride and what I would call self-sufficiency. We are not self-sufficient in ourselves, are we? We need the Lord. And if we leave Him out, there's circumstances for that, and our life is not very good at all. We have no really good future hope without the Lord. So why is it imperative that Israel learn to walk in the light of the Lord? And that verse here, I just read a few minutes ago, parallels with John chapter 1, verse 9, that I shared a message on 2 weeks ago when we had our communion. So it's because there is no future or hope in their present conditions, in their way of life, without the Lord. Either with ours, either. So if they refuse to repent, and what I would say, acknowledge God and walk in His ways, God will in some way humble them. God has a way to do that, doesn't He? Have you ever been humbled by the Lord? We all have, haven't we? And He doesn't do that to harm us, but to help us, to see where that maybe we've drifted or strayed away from Him and not given Him first allegiance in our lives. So we need to know that God is love. So their effect of their, what I would call prideful self-sufficiency, will be their humiliation for trusting in the works of their own hands. So when this happens, their future is not good. So when we look at what Isaiah is saying here this morning, Israel placed their confidence not in the Lord, but in themselves, and what they could achieve instead of what they find or found in Yahweh, our God. So as a result of their attitude and practices, the nation will be brought low. It will be lowered because God, they refused to walk with Him, and they exalted themselves. They lifted up their own self. They was looking for their self-sufficiency. So they decided to be full of the world, which made them empty of God. We need to be filled up with the blessings of God. And Israel had failed to do this. So no nation, no people can not prepare for a good future if they or it continues to live in rebellion against God. So first of all, let's see what verse 6 says about filled with influences. In this world, we can be filled with other influences other than God. God is our best influence. He is our best person to go to. He's the best person to listen to be influenced by. Because here in verse 5, I didn't read verse 5 earlier, but I want to go back to verse 5 to tie it in with verse 6, which says, "Come, house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord." So there's that one verse saying, "Let us walk in the light of the word of the Lord." Also, John chapter 1, verse 9 says the same thing, that we are to walk in the light of the Lord. Then verse 6 says, "For thou hast abandoned." That abandoned, same thing as rebel, is the Hebrew word, Paul, "thy people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with the influences from the east." And also, it's referred to as far as the west. So, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. So any nation who disobeys or abandons gods and follows other nations are looking for a downfall. So God, according to Isaiah, had abandoned his people not because he no longer loved them, but because they had become like the pagan nations around them. And that is one of the areas of that God forbidden the children of Israel or any nation to be influenced by other practices of other nations when it came to idols, when they worshiped other gods beside the true living God, the God Yahweh, as our scripture tells us. So people cannot prepare for a good future, as I said a few minutes ago, if they continue to live in sin. And rather, the expectation of a good future should motivate you and me. It should motivate them to deal with their present sinful condition. You know, God gives us all opportunities by the power of the Holy Spirit, who teaches us all things about Him and about the Scriptures and so forth. So the more we know about Him will help us to be more influenced by God rather than other things and other nations. So if they will not change their ways, or if they won't, then restoration can only come about after total humiliation needed to destroy their false hopes. So, there's a first underlying statement here, or condition, and it was following man's exalting religion, man-made religion. So, they were following the religious practices of other nations. And that is easy to fall into if you're connected, or if you're trying to be influenced, or if you're trying to pull other nations in just to deal with them or bargain with them and things like that. You can pick up their evil ways. So it seems that Israel had borrowed the superstitious ways of Assyria and Babylon. These was wicked, wicked nations. And in the great ancient Eastern civilization as well. So foretelling is one of the things that they was into, like the Philistines meant claiming to know how to control the future by the power of demons or sorcery or by interpreting signs. There's still people that do that today, aren't they? Have you ever been to a palm reader? No, well, good. Don't don't go there. They're trying to tell your future or tell you all about you by reading the wrinkles in your fingers or your hands and so forth. I don't trust my life to anything like that. I trust my life to the Lord. He knows more about me than anybody else, and knows more about you. And if we want to know anything about ourselves, he'll let us know through his word and so forth. So Isaiah is saying that Israel had borrowed pagan religious practices from the east to the west. Now, let's look at they was filled with wealth in verse 7. Now, having made charge that Israel is following pagan religious practices, Isaiah now here in verse 7 details the pagan ways that Israel was following. And it's not hard to figure it out when you align yourself with the Word of God and you know what's right and what's wrong, what other nations or people are more influenced by. It doesn't take long for a Christian to figure that out. When we're into the Word and when we're following Him and being led by the Holy Spirit, to know what is right and what's not right. A lot of people think, well, this is right for me, it might not be right for you, or it's not wrong with me, or it, you know, how you see it. But the Word of God gives us full detail of what we should be practicing and what's good for our lives and what is wholesome for our spiritual life. So in verse 7, it says, their land has been filled with the silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land has also been filled with horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Now, everything that could make Israel economically great, she had. She had it. She had what she needed. But Israel was therefore at the height of their prosperity, military ability, and armament. So Judah had great material wealth. Judah did. She had the silver and the gold, as Isaiah is describing here. Military strength, horses, chariots, which they no doubt mistakenly thought came to them because of their own efforts. It wasn't. God made it happen for them because of His protection, because of His love, because of their prayer obedience to them, He provided. Just like He provides for all of us. Now, when God's people are filled with the fullness which the world offers, and you think about this morning, they become empty towards God. Now, we need to be filled up with the overflowing blessings of God. You know, He blesses our life. He gives us what we need in this life to sustain us. And when we depend upon Him more and more, we'll see more blessings. And we need to thank him for each one of those and not take these things for granted. Now, having given up their riches of the promises of God, the nation took the man-made idols and treasures of the world in his place. They switched them out for man-made treasures rather than God. And this is exactly what happened to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 10. And the desire of the world's security led the assimilation of this worldly of gods, of other gods, and so forth in Solomon's day. Now, let's look at the field with the idols. You know, Isaiah doesn't leave anything short or anything out about where they were falling short in their commitment and dedication to the Lord. And we see that in our world today. We see that in our nation today as well. So in verse 8, this is the third evil item Israel was filled with, was false worship, and it's seen here in verse 8. And that is dangerous for any nation to do that. So verse 8 says, their lands has also been filled with idols, their worship, the work of their hands, that which their fingers have made. Now, okay, we have a need back there, so everybody focus as much as possible. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we have a situation this morning in our congregation. And Lord, we know a person is having some health issues right now. We just pray that, and we thank you for our ladies who are equipped to handle these situations. We'll help this person to find the help that they need to help them to get better. And Lord, we pray for your healing hand. Help us to keep focused as well as we look to you for guidance in our lives and in our situations as we see right now. Lord, just take charge of this situation, and we ask you to be with Mr. Razor and just help him to get the right health that he can get right now from those around him and those where he'll be maybe going to in a few minutes. So, Lord, continue to bless this service and help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on you and our focus upon you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay, I think I was in verse 8. Right here, their land had been filled with idols, their worship, the work of their hands, that they which their fingers have made. Now, such idols, worship is evil because of one, it insults God when we worship something he created rather than worshiping him. Now, it keeps us from knowing and serving God when we put our confidence in anything else other than him. So it also causes us to rely upon our own efforts rather than rely on God. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 15, Moses talked about this at that time in their air about what was going on with the nation of Israel. So now Isaiah is following up or concluding or continuing that this statement said, okay, this is where you were then, and now you have come back to this in your life. And if we're not following God, if we're not into the Word, if we're not studying and reading and understanding God's will and purpose for us each day of the moment, then this is what happens. Our focus is taken away. It's going in another direction. So filled with idols, what was going on here in verse 8. And now, because of this, they was empty of God. They was empty of God. And in verse 9 says, Isaiah pronounces their fall from sinful heights because of their emptiness of God. All through the Old Testament scriptures, it talks about, you know, like the King Saul. The Spirit had left Saul, and he didn't realize it. All through the scriptures, if the Spirit of God leaves a person and they don't know it, that's dangerous. And that the Spirit of God had left them. They wasn't even conscious of His leading them and His providing and provision of them throughout their life because they had taken up other gods other than the true living God. So they were empty. They were empty of God. Now, so verse 9 says, read that again so that we'll better understand what's going on here with Isaiah. So for this reason, the common man has been humbled, and the man of importance has been abased or been humbled as well, but do not forgive them. Now, you can prepare for a good future if you continue. You cannot prepare for a good future, rather, if you continue in sin, is what Isaiah is saying here. So Isaiah said that Israel is full of the world's best wisdom. I mean, we can have all the best wisdom in the world, but if it's the wrong wisdom, then it's bad wisdom. So, which is through the wealth, the power, and the control of one's destiny that God or human beings become great. And we don't become great because of our own. We become great because of what God does in our life. He is the one. Now, it says, do not forgive them, in verse 9, the last part of verse 9, could express Isaiah's deep despair over the people's condition or the certainty of God's judgment that is coming. So this phrase exposes the problem of sin right here. It cannot be simple forgotten. You know, God doesn't forget anything. We forget sometimes. We forget about our commitment. We forget who we're really dedicated to or who's dedicated to us. But God doesn't forget. And it must be punished. Sin has to be punished. And it will be punished in the future, in eternity. And otherwise, the whole claim and cause of effect upon which the world is built would be broken. So, what might be the solution here? And Isaiah is working towards that. It's only the redemption of God where we find the answer in the second part of Isaiah. And in verse chapter 43, which we've already studied, we saw it in chapter 44, chapter 52, 53, we saw the solutions then. And this is the problem working up to the solution. And so as we look at this, verses 10 and 11 says empty before God. So they were empty, filled with idols, and they were empty of God, now empty before God. And verse 10 says, enter the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of His majesty. Verse 11, the proud look of man will be abased, and the loftiness of man will be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. He will be exalted. I mean, He must be exalted. We must exalt, we must praise, we must give Him all the glory that He rightly deserves. And Israel is saying that their eyes will be cast down in shame. Their former self-exhortation would be will come to nothing. They will hide in rocks and crannies. And chapter Revelation talks about this as well. In the future, this will take place if they do not repent. So this happens because of the true source of greatness will appear in that day. God will be great. He will be righteous. He will be justice in his ways. Now, if man is the center of things, then life is without meaning or value. Christ has to be the center of all things in our life. He deserves that. We need to recognize that as well as people of God. So it will be true terror to meet the holy God having lived life for oneself. No one is an island, right? We hear a lot of songs, oh, island. We're not alone. And in conclusion this morning, society must prepare for a good future if it continues to live in rebellion against God. We cannot prepare for a good future if we're, or the nations are in rebellion against God. So we must always accept our dependence. Our dependence is on God. You know, when I get up in the morning, he's the first one I go to, because why? I'm dependent upon him. Because I don't like to step outside the house on my own. I don't even like to get in my car on my own. Lord, you steer me in the right direction. You know, you keep me on the road. Keep my eyes alert. Keep my mind alert. Keep my mind on you. Don't let it wander. Or don't, you know, whatever the temptations that come my way today, help me to look to you, the author and finisher of my faith. So no matter how well prepared you or I think our future is, unless we acknowledge all as a provision of God, its end will not hold the hoped for fulfillment. Now, it is God who gives us power. Jesus said, I'll give you all authority, all power to be my witnesses in the world. And if we're filled with other things, we can't be God's witnesses. So he gives us the power to make prosperity, and there is no sufficient security outside of the Lord. What God cares about most in our life is what? Righteousness. That's what's most important, is our righteousness in the Lord. He is righteous, he is holy, he is just, he's all the things. There, you know, Webster can't cover all the things that God is. You know, he's incredible. You know, just everything about God that we could really think about, we can't all comprehend how good God is, how great he is, how holy, how righteous he is. You know, our righteousness compared to his is very small, isn't it? But it is our responsibility as Christians, and it was the responsibility of Israel to keep their eyes and their focus on the Lord. And we will prosper. I mean, you know, you're not wealthy type prosper, but we will prosper in our spiritual life in the things of God, the things that he has in store for us, if we just keep our eyes upon him and not on ourselves or on other influences within this world. And it's easily to be influenced, isn't it? But it's not if you know who your true influencer is, and that's God. And Jesus, our Savior, who came into this world to make a difference, and he did. He did, and He will finalize that one of these days. And the Word of God, like Isaiah and all the prophets who prophesied all of the things that we're seeing unveiled before our eyes this day, today, the prophecy that we're seeing being fulfilled. All through the Bible it says, this is happening, so my word, so my prophecy will be fulfilled. It's being fulfilled. We just got to make sure we're focusing and understanding what is being fulfilled in God's word. And we find it right here in the Word of God. And His ultimate goal of our life is to be righteous. That's what's important to God for our lives. Because He loves us. And we love Him. So let's show it as we live our life according to His will and purpose. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You today for Your message. We thank You for the witnesses of Your word, the people that You used, like the prophets and followers and believers who made a difference back then in the Old Testament and in the New Testament in our world today. And Lord, we are a disciple of Yours. And as we live and walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, other people will know that there's something different about us, that we are a part of Your kingdom, a part of Your family. Help us to be those good influences in other people's lives that are looking for something much better than what they have. If they don't have the Lord Jesus, then they don't have the ultimate gift of life. So Lord, we thank You this morning, and we praise You. We hope that other people, as they see our life and as we walk the streets and of our community and in the marketplaces or wherever we go, people will see there's something different about us, that we have been with Jesus. Lord, if there's anyone here today and anyone listening, Lord, that You've been working in our lives, wanting to make a change in our life, sometimes we have to give up things to make a change. And sometimes we just need to be filled with You if we're empty. Lord, I thank You for this congregation. I thank You for those listening today. And Lord, there's a special place in each one of our lives for when we trust You and put You first. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Let us stand.